From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Joanna Underhill and Eric Goldstein from Creative Works of Lancaster talking about the company's upcoming holiday show, Jaws to the World, a holiday sock opera, which is the latest in Creative Works' sock puppet series.
So we had to like, well, whatever, if something comes up, we'll do it. And I went and saw Jaws at Chestnut Hill Cafe maybe last fall.
I remember when they ran that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was sitting there going, this is such a great movie. I've always loved it. And I just went, oh, I'm going to propose this. I don't know what it was. I just was like, I want to see this in sock puppets. And then at that same moment, I just was like, and for some reason, it needs to be a musical.
Coming up, it's Creative Works of Lancaster talking sock puppets. Also, we're introducing a brand new monthly segment for the program. It's Mickle Time with our friend Mike McMonagle, who joins us to talk about the region's live music scene. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. On Saturday, December 15th at 7 p.m., Square One Coffee presents The Beggar Folk, along with Shipwrecks, at the Thistle Finch Distillery. That's at 417 West Grant Street in Lancaster. The new distillery is also the home of Square One's new lab space. Tickets are only $10 and can be purchased at the door. Don't miss this rare opportunity to catch The Beggar Folk live. For a full-length interview with the husband and wife duo, check out episode 17 of this program at woodstovehouse.com. You can link up to details about the concert at the show post for today's episode. On Sunday, December 16th at 2 p.m., don't miss the Chet Williamson Film Festival at the Ware Center at Millersville University, Lancaster, 42 North Prince Street. Chet is the author of over 25 novels and an actor and musician from right here in Lancaster. The Ware Center will be showing two films on Sunday. The first is Gandhi at the Bat, a short film based on a story that Chet wrote for The New Yorker. The second film is Christmas with the Dead. That's a brand new, soon-to-be classic zombie Christmas movie that stars Chet as a crazed minister. Tickets are only $7, $5 for students, and Chet will be at the event introducing the films and available for some Q&A afterwards. For more information and to grab your tickets, visit millersville.edu/muarts. This week we're introducing a new monthly segment called Mickle Time. Mike McMonagle will be joining us each month to highlight a few live music shows that are coming up around the region. It's Mickle Time on Around the Wood Stove.
So, Mike, welcome to the show. Tell me what's going on with the live music scene in Lancaster. What's coming up?
Oh, man, it's really happening. But we do have some stuff coming up this month that I'm excited about. Being involved with Talus 360, we have music time to time. And there just so happens to be on the 21st of December. A show that I'm really excited about. We have the Districts from Lititz coming and performing. We also have Unusual Suspects, which has, you know, it's Jordan Rast and Tuck Ryan. Tuck is one of my good buddies' younger brother. So
that's going to be a great show. I've had that one on the radar for a while.
Good.
Little tidbit for you.
Okay.
A little trivia. Both Robbie and Connor from the Districts played on Jordan's solo album that came out last year.
You know what? I did know that Rob played on it.
Yep. Connor played bass as well.
Okay. Good to know.
And Robbie went on to play several shows with Jordan in the band that he put together after that, before Unusual Suspects.
Okay.
But yeah. So there's a long history for guys who are 17 years old and 19 years old. I mean, they have quite a history together.
It kind of brings us back to that Lancaster music scene that, you know, there's so much.
Absolutely.
We'll get on that later.
What else is going on?
What else is going on the, what is that? The 23rd. I have notes that I'm reading. My good friends and partial roommates, Toy Soldiers, will be playing at the Chameleon with also good friends, Slackwater News and Cozy Galaxies as well. I don't know if you're familiar with Cozy Galaxies. They are, technically Philadelphia band. Members of which are from Lancaster. Henry Kuhn plays drums. These are old high school buddies of mine, actually. I didn't go to high school with them, but we had mutual friends. They went to Hemfield. I was at Lancaster Catholic. But Henry's a phenomenal drummer. And Andrew Maddie is in the band as well. And he grew up down the street from me.
Wow.
and you know, a few other guys from Lancaster. So the band used to be called the Major Leagues, and anyway, they they're it's cool to have them back in town. It's always a good time when they come back around.
So that's a Sunday night show right before Christmas.
That'd be a good show.
So that's the night before Christmas Eve, Sunday night, December 23rd at the Chameleon.
Absolutely.
Along with being an accomplished local musician and writer for Fly Magazine, Mike is responsible for booking shows at Telus 360, a Lancaster business that brings environmentally sustainable solutions to all aspects of living. They outfit homes and offices with environmentally sustainable products like reclaimed wood furniture, rooftop solar panels, or green roofs. Telus 360 is also an art gallery and a live music venue. Over a year ago, they started a monthly local live music series called the Tabletop Sessions right in their storefront on King Street, just a few doors down from the Marriott. Mike has played a big role in making that live music happen, so I took advantage of having him on the show to talk about the Tabletop Sessions and other live music events at Telus 360.
Well, the series has really, really grown into something special for the community. I mean, the last few shows I saw most recently was Derry Miller and Dietrich Strauss.
Mm-hmm.
Dietrich's a native who came down from Boston, and Derry, of course, is making big splashes in the music scene around here and regionally. And the show was just phenomenal. I mean, it was really, really an incredible show. Room's always packed. Energy's always really good. You've really built a really nice series there.
Well, it's great that you brought that show in particular up, because that one, I think, really accentuates the beauty of what's going on there, because you have a Americana tinged acoustic act opening for a pop rock band, and like totally opposite sides of the track, and like, but yet you have a crowd that stayed through both of them.
Yep.
So someone that may have come for Dietrich was open minded enough to stay and listen to Derry, or vice versa. Someone that came early for Derry came early enough to hear the opening act, not knowing who it was exactly. So what we're attracting are people that are just music lovers. What I want to build is trust. I want people to say, hey, Telus has a show tonight. Who's playing? I don't know. Let's go anyway.
Right.
And I think we're seeing that. We see return people that come pretty much every month, and they don't care who's playing. They know it's going to be a fun night regardless, and they trust that we're going to bring good musicians out.
The Tabletop Sessions aren't the only thing, though, that happens. I know you guys have done some ticketed shows.
We have.
Tell me about those.
Shovels and Rope, if you're not familiar, is a husband and wife duo that are just fantastic. And we managed to book them literally 3 months before their newest album came out. This album I just read today, it was ranked number 3 of 2012 by American Songwriter magazine, which is a good authority on songwriting. So that was the first one we had. That was back in the end of August. Fast forward to September, we had, early October, we had Joe Fletcher, who just played the Newport Folk Festival. He's from Providence, Rhode Island, and Carsey Blanton, who's a singer-songwriter from Philadelphia. Dietrich actually emailed me out of nowhere and said, hey, I have a friend, a music friend named Joe Fletcher. He's making a tour through those parts. Do you have any ideas? Not even knowing what I did with Telus. And Dietrich helped me put that together.
It's a great lineup.
Yeah. And then Carsey, I always loved her. I was a fan of her music. And I emailed her like on a whim. And we had just played Shovels and Rope. And she had played with Shovels and Rope the night before in Philly. So she was like, if they're playing there, I want to play there. And so we got her, and then just recently we had Andrew Combs and Angel Snow, budding singer-songwriters from Nashville. Angel Snow has written, I think, 3 or so songs for Alison Krauss. Andrew Combs is probably one of the most fun, awesome musicians I've stumbled upon in the last year. He's got a song that he's currently trying to sell to Willie Nelson. We do have that other dimension where we want to put, you know, some tickets on these, mm-hmm. a price on these shows, because we want people to get familiar with that aspect of us as well, because there are some big things coming, which we can talk about.
And we'll be talking about it down the road, absolutely.
That's Mike McMonagle on Around the Wood Stove. Mike will be joining us each month on the program for Mickle Time, with recommendations for live music in Lancaster and beyond. You can find out more about all things happening at Telus 360 at tellus360.com or drop by at 24 East King Street in Lancaster. Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's Eric Goldstein and Joanna Underhill from Creative Works of Lancaster. Welcome to Around the Wood Stove.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
We've had many a folk. Creative Works of Lancaster is a local nonprofit with a mission to fuel and sustain the city's cultural renaissance. Their focus has been primarily theater, producing free outdoor theater in Musser Park during the last two summers, and pushing the edges a bit with holiday shows like the 2010 You'll Laugh and 2011's Christmas on Mars. One thing that has definitely set Creative Works apart has been a series of sock puppet shows written as parodies of major motion pictures. The latest and third in the series, Jaws to the World, a holiday sock opera, will be performed twice next Sunday, December 16th, and then three times on December 30th. Here's sock operist Joanna Underhill.
Well, I mean, the reason the sock puppet shows got started with Creative Works was right when I joined the board 2.5 years ago, we were looking for a project we could do that didn't require renting a big space. And I had been joking around with another friend of mine going, you know, there aren't enough sock puppets in the world. And I think a sock puppet version of Psycho would be fantastic. And we were originally just going to do it like ourselves, videotape it of the sock puppets lip syncing to the movie. But I just happened to throw this idea out at this board meeting and everyone's eyes lit up and said, oh my goodness, we have to do that. So it was our first official project, I think.
Well, and it was certainly, it drew a large audience and it certainly, I mean, we'd had the mobile art gallery.
We'd done the mobile art gallery.
Without a permanent space for their productions, Creative Works found the perfect location to stage the puppet shows at the Lancaster Dispensing Company, a quaint tavern that seats about 150 people and is located right in the heart of downtown Lancaster, next to the historic Central Market.
I said it's a great atmosphere in there. It's very warm and friendly. And I didn't really think sock puppets could hold people's attention, say, had we done it at the Fulton Opera House. So, and while I'm really proud of the plays, and they're funny, but they're well-written, I do think it helps if you've got beer and nachos with you while you're watching a sock puppet parody of a famous movie.
While the Lancaster Dispensing Company, or DIPCO, hosts live music on most Friday and Saturday nights, the stage is simply a raised section of the restaurant that holds a few tables during the regular dining hours. Creative Works needed to build a mobile puppet theater to pull off the original performance of Psycho.
So we measured the stage inside DIPCO, and now the theater that we use was made to fit those dimensions, and also made to fit the dimensions of, we measured Chet Williamson, our tallest member. He had to get down on his knees and hold his hand up. We said, okay, we're going to measure like the bottom of your wrist. And that's about how,
So it fits the Chet specs.
Yes, this kind of Chet specs were very important.
And the rest of us can reach.
Yeah.
With the location set and the mobile theater designed, Creative Works then had to figure out how to actually pull off a sock puppet rendition of a famous movie in a bar.
We would kind of get each other's nerves because we had to give each other acting notes. You know, I mean, like you suddenly realize that you had to, you had to tilt the puppet a certain way so the face could be seen, you know, and I particularly got really frustrated. I would go out front and watch and be like, no, you're being lazy. Tilt him forward. I want to see the buttons, you know, and then I was also like, I spent a lot of time hot gluing that puppet together, so I'd really like to see it.
Things started to really sort themselves out by the time Creative Works produced the second sock puppet show in June of 2011, The Sock Father. Here's writer and sock operist Eric Goldstein.
Psycho was chaos. I mean, we'd never done a show like this before. We really didn't give ourselves enough time to prepare for it, and we were crawling all over each other back there, and we're sore, and our knees are aching, and the day of, we were ready to kill each other. We didn't kill each other, fortunately, although it would have fit in with the plot. But we instead survived, and we did the show. And it was a lot of fun, but just figuring out where to put all your little props that the puppets have to pick up. And you have to be able to do things. You've got puppets on your hands, but you have to be able to grab things and move things around. And you don't have the same manual dexterity when you have puppets on your hands. So that was a real challenge. For The Sock Father, it was a very different experience for us because we went into it saying, we're going to figure out the logistics of this show. We're going to know where all the props are preset. We're going to know who does what every single moment. And we had well more than twice as many characters, twice as many socks. So there was lots of arm switching. And yet it went so much smoother, and we bought knee pads, so we did finally get it.
The one really big innovation for the Sock Father was, let's invest in knee pads. But yeah,
how many people are behind the curtain, so to speak? How many people are back there?
Five. In the Sock Father, there were four. Joel, who does sound effects for us, was not actually doing any of the socks in the Sock Father. But in Psycho and in Jaws to the World, he's doing both sound effects and characters.
No matter how well rehearsed, things can still go awry in the world of sock puppetry.
I had to change puppets very quickly. And Joel was forced to do this between scenes. Like, he just had to sort of ad-lib and rap until I could get this puppet on my hand. And one show, I don't know why, I could not get this puppet on. I had a puppet on the other hand. So I'm trying to put a puppet on my hand with a puppet on the other hand. And it just, I got stuck. I couldn't do it. And he's just running out of things to say. And he's just, dude, when are you going to be up there? And I can't, you know, because you can't just have them flopped over because your hand's only halfway in, so.
But yeah, the Sock Father had 36 puppet characters, and four of us did it.
Yeah, and like half of them died during the script,
yeah, right? Yeah, and some of them were really only for one scene. I mean, you know, you spend a lot of time making a puppet. You're like, yeah, you're going to show up once, then you're gone. And that one, I got help. We had two sock puppet making sessions for that. We had numerous volunteers come over. But it was kind of fun. I gave a little sock puppet tutorial, and then we spent two evenings making puppets. We cranked out about 20 of them, and then I did the rest.
You need to start doing workshops over at the Pennsylvania Guild of Craftsmen.
Yeah, they'll love it.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen all around central Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and will always be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. And now back to our conversation with Eric Goldstein and Joanna Underhill from Creative Works of Lancaster. We're talking about the latest in a series of sock puppet parodies that the company has been staging for a couple of years at the Lancaster Dispensing Company, a tavern in downtown Lancaster. The latest is the upcoming holiday show, Jaws to the World, a holiday sock opera.
So after we did The Sock Father, we always get suggestions. That's the interesting thing. And then you can make up great titles, like A Sockalypse Now has come up several times. But you say it to the group, and it's just no one's really inspired. Like, that's a funny idea, but you can't do that. I mean, you just don't, I don't know, I don't want to do that. So what are some other ones? I can't remember. But anyway, that's when it sticks in my head. So we had to, like, well, whatever, if something comes up, we'll do it. And I went and saw Jaws at Chestnut Hill Cafe maybe last fall.
I remember when they ran that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was sitting there going, this is such a great movie. I've always loved it. And I just went, oh, this is, I'm going to propose this. I don't know what it was. I just was like, I want to see this in sock puppets. And then at that same moment, I just was like, and for some reason, it needs to be a musical.
Of course.
And I mean, it just popped into my head. And it really hinted that I don't remember exactly what meeting it was, but I was like, if we ever want to do sock puppets again, guys, I think we should do Jaws. It needs to be a musical, and we need to have Bohemian Rhapsody in it because I want something about a bigger boat in Bohemian Rhapsody. And Eric delivered. I mean, that was my only criteria. Was like, guys, I'll do whatever else you want. I'm not going to write the script. I really would like Bohemian Rhapsody during the bigger boat scene.
So if this piece is a musical, are you playing to tracks, or will you have live music?
We have a musical director, Josh Schwartz, who's also on our board. He's a lawyer by day, but he's a musician. I mean, he's super.
He's a musician, he's an actor, he's a singer. I mean, he's very creative.
But it's been really fun to rehearse with him. He is just really excited. He was a music director of his vocal group in college, and I think he hasn't done this kind of work since then. And he's going to have an electric keyboard he's going to play.
Eric, what's the process like taking a feature-length film and stripping it down? Like, what's it like to rip that apart?
That's a great question. And for this one, it was a little bit different than for others because it was a musical. So what we always do is we get together and we watch the movie together. And then we brainstorm different ideas. But what we look for is iconic moments. What are the moments in that movie that everyone will recognize and that we have to try to recreate in puppetry? And then for this process, we also wanted to know, where are the song moments? I mean, when do things really happen? So we actually figured out when the songs would be before we started really with a detailed outline of a script.
Okay.
And then after that, we worked on the songs and wrote the book, the dialogue, to go from scene to scene. But it was a process. It was fun.
How collaborative is it?
Well, in this one, you're going to see that there are songs written by three different members of the organization. And then I wrote the script. But even at that, in rehearsals, we're adding lines, we're taking away lines all the time. It's not a traditional, this is the script and this is the way it will be. As we go, we come up with other things that are even better. Or we say, this isn't working, and we alter it. So it's very collaborative.
I'm talking with Joanna Underhill and Eric Goldstein from Creative Works of Lancaster. This year's Creative Works Holiday Show is the latest in a series of sock puppet productions. Jaws to the World, a holiday sock opera, is coming to Dipco, the Lancaster Dispensing Company, next Sunday, December 16th at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., and then again on Sunday, December 30th at 4, 6, and 8 p.m. Joanna and Eric have both been key players in all of Creative Works' sock puppet shows. Some folks take the roles a little more seriously than others.
Eric's got a very close relationship with his puppets. He's the only one who takes his characters home and works on them. The rest are all stored in my basement, all neatly packed away in a plastic bin, but Eric's got Norman, he's got Michael Corleone at home, and now he's going to have Chief Brody.
You're like the star.
I have played the main characters in all of them, but no, I'm not necessarily. I mean, I'm playing a character that's the same character throughout, but what you'll see is that people who aren't playing a main character are playing like 5, 6, 7 other characters. So really, there's a lot of fun and star. Nobody's sitting out the whole time.
Yeah, well, and that's actually a fun process, too, because once the script is written, we sit around and do a read-through, but it really is you read it and you sort of get an idea of who you'd like to be, but it's like, well, who do you think would be good in this part, you know? And also, they said, well, if you were just this person on this page, you probably can't be this puppet.
Right.
Because, so it jumbles around like that, so.
That's a lot to coordinate, actually.
Yeah, and every once in a while, we have to have stunt doubles.
We do. We're like, someone is moving the puppet, but the other person is voicing it.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joanna frequently has to move puppets that she's not actually speaking for.
Well, yeah, and it's in Sock Puppet Psycho, I actually never, I never voiced an actual puppet. I moved puppets for people in a couple of scenes, and then I was the voice of Mother, but there was no Mother puppet. So I was all the backstage stuff. I held up a lot of the signs and the props and the... Yeah, which I didn't even realize till afterwards. I'm like, hey, I was the mother, but I was never an actual puppet. But that was great because it left me free to be puppets for other people.
How long have you been making these puppets? I mean, not these specific ones.
Right. My first round of official sock puppet making actually happened when I was the child supervisor for the children who were in the Fulton production of The Phantom, which was... 3, going on 4 years ago, actually. And they were barely in the show, so we had a lot of time in our dressing room. And I just happened to jokingly say to them one day, you know, sock puppet version of this would be hilarious. And so that's what we did. And it was a huge hit. We did a 10-minute version of this musical, and we had to do a command performance the following weekend. And then from that, I started, you know, working and developing my techniques and... So I have certain rules that I have to follow that for a sock puppet parody, the eyes have to be buttons. But if I make someone a personal sock puppet, I can use googly eyes, and it's just this random rule, but I don't ever want googly eyes on I want the more traditional sock puppet. And I actually don't want to buy socks either. I tend to like ask for donations.
So these are certified pre-owned.
These are all pre-owned socks, yes. So that's one of my rules. And there's great techniques for making hair out of yarn. And I've discovered felt isn't the best material. So I've been saving a lot more of my own clothes rather than giving them away. So I have a nice big pile of, which has come in handy.
Yeah, that's great.
And there's an artistry to Joanna's puppets. I mean, if you see Sock Puppet Psycho, everything is black, white, and gray. Because Psycho is black and white. If you see the Sock Father puppets, they're so much more in the browns and sepia tones. And this one will be far more colorful. And it just she thinks of detail.
It is little. I get a little obsessive about the colors.
She finds a picture of the character and then figures out how to match the puppet to look like that character. I mean, as much as a sock possibly can.
Yeah, of course.
But it's incredible.
Well, really looking forward to seeing this show coming up on Sunday, December 16th. That's at 6 and 8 p.m. It's $5 to get into the bar. And then a second performance, or set of performances, I should say, on December 30th at the end of the year. At Lancaster Dispensing Company. Well, Eric and Joanna, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk about this new... Oh, wait, let me get it. Jaws to the World, a holiday sock opera.
You rock, man.
How about that?
I mean, you Excellent. Sock, man.
Oh, you sock, man.
The two of the sock operists from...
I'm going to embrace that term. I'm going to put it on my business card, Joanna Underhill, sock operist.
Sock operist from Creative Works of Lancaster. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Find out more about Creative Works of Lancaster online at creativeworks.org, or you can link up on the show post for this episode at our website, woodstovehouse.com. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.